Hi! Welcome to Senoli Talks and Senoli's Book Club. My name is Monica Senoli, and today I'll be talking about Confessions of a Shopaholic by Sophie Kinsella. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. If you're new here, I'm a writer and English teacher based in Brazil, and my goal with this podcast is to motivate you to read in English, if this is not your first language. It's also cool that you're listening to me, because you're practicing your listening skills as well. Yeah, so before I start talking about the book, I would like to encourage you to send your thoughts and suggestions to bookclub@monicasanoli.com.br. I record the show every other week focusing on female authors, and I'd love to read your messages here. Please feel free to practice your writing. Alright, so here's the synopsis of the book. Becky Bloomwood has what most young women only dream of. A flat in London's trendiest neighborhood, a troop of glamorous socialite friends, and a closet brimming with the season's must-haves. The only trouble is, she can't actually afford it, not any of it. Her job, writing a successful saving magazine, not only bores her to tears, it doesn't pay much at all. Still, how can she resist that perfect pair of shoes? Or the divine silk blouse in the window of that ultra-trendy boutique. But lately, Becky's been chased by dismal letters from Visa and the Andwich Bank, letters with large red sums she can't bear to read. And they're getting ever harder to ignore. She tries cutting back, she even tries making more money, but none of her efforts succeeds. Her only consolation is to buy herself something, just a little something. Finally, a story arises that Becky actually cares about, and her front-page article catalyzes a chain of events that will transform her life and the lives of those around her forever. If you're a girl and you like romantic comedies, you've probably seen the movie that was based off of this book. It's not a brilliant movie, just like the book is not a literary marvel, yet both the book and the movie are quite light and pleasant to read and watch. So we have this girl, Becky Bloom, and she has a real big problem. She's addicted to shopping and spending, and she has a way of losing focus inside of the big picture that is just hilarious. Of course, we all know people that are like that, and it's not a light subject. Like, it's a real addiction, and it has to be addressed properly. But Becky is so funny and naive that you just fall in love with her. We all have problems, most of us have financial problems, and it's important to admit that they are real and take steps towards solving them. But it's also good to laugh about them a bit. Life is not black and white, right or wrong all the time. It's important to have fun and see the gray areas. This is one of the things that I love about this book. The other thing is Becky herself. Like I said, she is naive and she makes stupid decisions, and at times you just want to grab her by the shoulders and shake some sense into her, but she's still very adorable, and I'd love to have her as a friend. She has a very unique way to see the world, and I think she's very authentic, in spite of all her insecurities, which I think are what cause her addiction to shopping in the first place. At first, it seems to be very shallow, but as you continue to read, you learn more about her personality, and it's easy to relate to her, even if you don't have a shopping addiction. Something that is worth mentioning is that Sophie Kinsella is English, so the book is written in that delightful British English that you can just savor as you read. If you're like me and you actually hear the characters and the narrator in your mind as you go, you'll definitely have to prepare yourself for some British accent. Moving on, I'm going to be reading the beginning of chapter 1 and then the beginning of chapter 9. I think you can get a good feel of who Becky is from these passages. So, here we go, chapter 1. Okay, don't panic. Don't panic. It's only a visa bill. It's a piece of paper, a few numbers. I mean, just how scary can a few numbers be? I stare out of the office window at a bus driving down Oxford Street, willing myself to open the white envelope sitting on my cluttered desk. It's only a piece of paper, I tell myself for the thousandth time. And I'm not stupid, am I? I know exactly how much this visa bill will be. Sort of. Roughly. It'll be about £200. 300, maybe. Yes, maybe 300. 350, max. I casually closed my eyes and started tied up. There was that suit in Jigsaw. And there was dinner with Suze at Calling Nose. And there was that gorgeous red and yellow rug. The rug was £200, come to think of it. But it was definitely worth every penny. Everyone's admired it. Or at least Suze has. And the Jigsaw suit was on sale, 30% off. So that was actually saving money. I opened my eyes and reached for the bill. As my fingers hit the paper, I remember new contact lenses. £95. Quite a lot, but I mean, I had to get those, didn't I? What am I supposed to do, walk around in a blur? And I had to buy some new solutions and a cute case and some hypoallergenic eyeliner. So that takes it up to £400. At the desk next to mine, Claire Edwards looks up from her post. She's sorting all her letters into neat piles, just like she does every morning. She puts rubber bands around them and puts labels on them, saying things like, "Answer immediately," and "Not urgent, but respond." I loathe Claire Edwards. "Okay, Becky," she says. "Fine," I say lightly. "Just reading a letter." I reach gaily into the envelope, but my fingers don't quite pull out the bill. They remain clutched around it while my mind is seized, as it is every month, by my secret dream. Do you want to know about my secret dream? It's based on a story I once read in the Daily World about a mix-up at a bank. I loved the story so much, I cut it out and stuck it onto my wardrobe door. Two credit card bills were sent to the wrong people and, get this, each person paid the wrong bill without realizing. They paid off each other's bills without even checking them. And ever since I read that story, my secret fantasy has been that the same thing will happen to me. I mean, I know it sounds unlikely, but if it happened once, it can happen again, can't it? Some dotty old woman in Cornwall will be sent my humongous bill and will pay it without even looking at it. And I'll be sent her bill for 3 tins of cat food at 59 pence each, which, naturally, I'll pay without question. Fair is fair, after all. A smile is plastered over my face as I gaze out of the window. I'm convinced that this month it will happen. My secret dream is about to come true. But when I eventually pull the bill out of the envelope, goaded by Claire's curious gaze, my smile falters, then disappears. Something hot is blocking my throat. I think it could be panic. The page is black with type. A series of familiar names rushes past my eyes like a mini shopping mall. I try to take them in, but they're moving too fast. Thornton's, I manage to glimpse. Thornton's chocolates? What was I doing in Thornton's chocolates? I'm supposed to be on a diet. This bill can't be right. This can't be me. I can't possibly have spent all this money. Don't panic, I yell internally. The key is not to panic. Just read each entry slowly, one by one. I take a deep breath and force myself to focus calmly, starting at the top. Chapter 9. When I get home that night, there's a pile of posts in the hall for me. But I ignore it because my package from Fine Frames has arrived. It cost me £100 to buy, which is quite expensive. But apparently it will give you a return of £300 in only a few hours. Inside the package, there's a leaflet full of photographs of people who make fortunes from doing fine frames. Some of them make $100,000 a year. It makes me wonder what I'm doing being a journalist. So after supper, I sit down in front of changing rooms and open the kit. Sus is out tonight, so it's nice and easy to concentrate. "Welcome to the best-kept secret in Britain," says the leaflet. "The Fine Frames homeworking family. Join other members and earn cash in the comfort of your own home. Our easy-to-follow instructions will aid you as you embark on the biggest money-making enterprise of your life. Perhaps you will use your earnings to buy a car or a boat, or to treat someone special. And remember, the amount you earn is completely up to you." I'm utterly gripped. Why on earth haven't I done this before? This is a fantastic scheme. I'll work incredibly hard for 2 weeks, and then pay off all my debts, go on holiday, and buy loads of new clothes. I start ripping at the packaging, and suddenly a pile of fabric strips falls onto the floor. Some are plain, and some are a flowered pattern. It's a pretty hideous pattern, actually. But then, who cares? My job is just to make the frames and collect the money. I reach for the instructions and find them under a load of cardboard pieces. And sure enough, they're incredibly simple. What you have to do is glue wetting onto the cardboard frame, put the fabric over the top for that luxury upholstered effect, then glue braid along the back to hide the join. And that's it. It's completely simple and you get 2 pounds a frame. There are 150 in the package, so if I do 30 a night for a week, I'll have made 300 quid just like that in my spare time. Okay, let's get started. Frame, wadding, glue, fabric, braid. Oh God. Oh God. Who designed these bloody things? There just isn't enough fabric to fit over the frame and the wadding. Or at least you have to stretch it really hard, and it's such flimsy fabric, it rips. I've got glue on the carpet, and I've bent 2 of the cardboard frames from pulling them, and the only frame I've actually completed looks really wonky. And I've been doing it for... I yawn, look at the time, and feel a jolt of shock. It's 11:30, which means I've been working for 3 hours. In that time, I've made one dodgy-looking frame, which I'm not sure they'll accept, and ruined 2. And I was supposed to be making 30. Alright, that's it, guys. If you're listening to this podcast and you're not subscribed to my list, do so at monicasanoli.com.br. Subscribers get the episodes earlier than anyone else, along with a list of useful vocabulary plus many other perks. Follow me on Instagram at Monica Sanoli, and don't forget to send your suggestions and honest feedback to bookclub@monicasanoli.com.br. I'm looking forward to talking to you. Until next time, lots of love.